How was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was fine. I had family in, but obviously, as you can imagine, given what we're dealing with and going through, I spent a lot of time on the phone.
Let's take care of some...
Hold on, before we do that. Have you talked to them today?
That's what I was going to go.
Before you know what? I'm doing Doug's job, so...
Yes, Steve and I had a conversation within the last half hour, actually.
And?
Nothing scheduled. We kind of reviewed where we are, and obviously, from their perspective, I don't think, at least currently, they're inclined to further kind of counter from where we ended up on Wednesday. We're going to obviously review where we are with our negotiating committee over the weekend and maybe early in the week next week, and we'll figure out where we go from there.
How long do these calls, these conversations last? Like 30 seconds, 5 minutes?
It totally depends on, you know, the day and the subject matter and where we are. You know, we, you know, today's conversation is probably 10 minutes.
We know the All-Star game is on the chopping block. Cancellations, obviously, of games into December are coming. Will that announcement be made today? And what can you tell us as far as how far into December you will go?
Well, I'll confirm that you know, announcements are going to be made imminently. I don't want to get into timing exactly, but obviously we're late into November already, so... you know, we probably were in a position where you know, further announcements should have been made earlier last week, but we wanted to at least give ourselves an opportunity to make progress with the Players Association and see where we were at the end of the week. And unfortunately, it doesn't appear as if what we had to say to them on Wednesday had any traction with them. So those unfortunate decisions need to be made, and people have to plan appropriately.
Bill, you can confirm to us that you use the same firm as the NFL and the NBA utilized and employed during their labor negotiations?
One of the firms that we utilize is one of the firms that those two, those two leagues have utilized, yes.
And the reason I want to clarify that is decertification has come up, and the NFL, the NBA both floated that plan, and they settled before the unions dissolved. Does decertification...
Hold on. I'm not sure that's exactly true.
Okay.
If you listen to the NFLPA, they were dissolved throughout the course of their litigation. They ultimately were unsuccessful in their litigation. And the case settled as a class action settlement, and then the union kind of put themselves back together, as is want the case in these types of situations.
Then they got the deal done.
They got the deal done... essentially as a settlement to a litigation, and then recast it as a collective bargaining agreement, correct.
So does decertification scare you?
No.
Why not? When we hear all about antitrust
I mean,
and...
Look, I think, you know, for better or for worse, I grew up as a lawyer and spent probably 15 to 20 years of my career working in this area of the law, the intersection of the antitrust laws in the United States and the labor laws in the United States, and where the labor law preempts the antitrust law. And right after I left private practice and decided to join the National Hockey League, the United States Supreme Court issued a ruling in Brown v. Pro Football, which basically said that antitrust law virtually has no role to play in labor disputes, and set a very, very high standard for a union or a group of players or a group of workers ever being able to invoke the antitrust law or antitrust liability as a threat in these types of situations. So as a result, it has really never successfully been asserted as a threat in any of these types of situations, and certainly I wouldn't view an antitrust lawsuit in this case to be anything other than an unfortunate development, because I think it's a time-consuming process that would likely lead to the end of the season.
Bill Daly, the Deputy Commissioner of the National Hockey League, is with us. What would you say to a player who's mulling over the idea of decertification?
I wouldn't insert myself in that decision-making process. Obviously, You know, that's a decision they need to make.
Bill, I'm going to go a little way away from decertification because I, you know, in my mind, I think that it's part of creating the discussion of decertification is part of negotiating. But I still think when you consider where the fans are, what's going on with the fan base, how not necessarily emotionally become, but how apathetic they become, they're becoming about the sport. Why? And because they're going to ask a simple question. Why can't you sit down more often? Why can't you be in the same room longer than 55 or 60 minutes and get a deal done?
You know, I think that's a very fair question. And as a fan myself, you know, I if I was on the outside looking in, I'd ask the same question. You know, it's the dynamics of a collective bargaining negotiation, and not all dynamics are the same. And there are fits and starts, and there are, you know, positions each side has to take, and there's a lot of tactics and strategy involved in terms of what you put on the table and when and in what context. And certainly, you know, my preference always is to try to get to a bottom line as quickly as possible. But if you get to then that bottom line and the other side's not moving, that creates a very difficult dynamic. So yeah, everybody who has been involved in negotiations understands that, it's an unfortunate part of the process, and you deal with it and you make the best of it and you try to move it forward. And you know, this I'll be the first to admit this process has played out not as we would have hoped or expected, and we hate where we are, and we wish we were in a better place, and we feel badly for everybody involved in the game, and all of those people who make money on the game or make a living off of the game being impacted the way they are, and it's unfortunate in the extreme.
Did you underestimate the resolve of the players?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I guess I underestimated the magnitude of the gulf between us on the important issues. Because if you had asked me in the summertime, and I'm sure you did actually, if I thought that this was a major, you know, this was a major comprehensive type negotiation, that's turned out to be. Where you know, it's not a philosophical negotiation. It's really, for the most part, it's a negotiation over money. And I don't really understand how we got to where we are.
The NHLPA side in a couple of moments with Steve here, the NHLPA special counsel. Right now, we're chatting with the NHL's deputy commissioner, Bill Daly, in Hockey Central at noon.
Bill, when you're in negotiations with the NHLPA, people I've been, you know, I hear from. After all these negotiations, there's, you know, the players have leaked information, different memos, different reports. It's came the same way after certain meetings from the NHL. Do you ever sit down with the NHLPA and discuss things that will never be talked about publicly, and you're advancing the process?
Of course, at parts of the process, you hope that's the case. You hope that you're talking kind of off the record, but there's no legal way to effectuate that. And Don Fehr probably would be the first to tell you that when he's dealing with a constituency of 750 players, even if he wanted that result, there's no way necessarily to guarantee that result. So, I mean, we each are under an obligation to inform our constituents, make sure they're aware of what's going on, and once you get to that point, you always run the risk of things becoming public. I've always ascribed to the theory that the more that could go on quietly and behind the scenes, the better. But that's not the reality of a professional sports league collective bargaining negotiation.
We'd be out of jobs. Are you kidding me?
That's for sure. And I would say the media has been very persistent in this one.
There's been accusations from both sides on failing or unwilling to negotiate. That was certainly lobbed your way after the NHLPA's proposal earlier this week. What was your reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean,
Was it that bad of a proposal?
Obviously, we don't agree with characterization. We felt like we, obviously, a lot of this stuff we've talked about over months. We recessed. We went point by point with our negotiating committee and with our internal staff, and we came up with a response to what the players put on the table on Wednesday. We thought it was actually a very constructive response. We moved in a lot of the areas we thought were very important to the players, and we tried to be as sensitive and responsive to their issues as possible. We had told them what our position was on various issues in advance. So the fact that there was not significant movement on some areas shouldn't have come as a major surprise to them. We would have hoped for a better response than we got, but, we got what we got. We understand, we continue to be far apart, and, we'll try to continue to move this forward.
Two-part question. Are you speaking the same language, finally? Do you feel?
Well, I hope so. I think, in my optimistic view of the world, I think we got closer on Wednesday, just in terms of understanding, framing the issues, maybe moving a little closer in certain areas. As I said, I think we reacted. We took some things off the table that we knew the Players Association was not enamored with. They obviously, by putting a 50-50 HRR proposal on the table, moved in our direction. In essence, the economic proposal we got on Wednesday was similar in a lot of respects to the economic proposal we got on October 18th, where they basically said 50-50, but not really,
right?
Because you got to pay the players, 13% of their contracts outside the system.
My point really was, because we're going to be running short of time here, is if you are speaking the same language, then why is it not time for mediation?
Would you be open to it?
I've always said I'd be open to it. I'm not sure it's the best way to move the process forward.
Do you think they want to do a deal?
I've had my doubts and concerns at certain points in time. I would hope that the players want to play and want to have a season, but I'm not so sure at the end of the day that unless it's on certain terms that union leadership necessarily shares that goal.
Hey, Bill, in the event of no season, what happens with the 2013 draft if there's no decertification and all of that? Does it go back to the lottery like back when Sidney Crosby was drafted?
I haven't thought that far ahead. We're still planning on having a season this year.